that we here we get down in Candy, and I want to thank you for bringing Candy.
Somehow we forgot to put that in the bulletin. 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, Wednesday night, is Harvest Festival. You can come and help. Come anytime in the afternoon and help. I'm going to set the trailer up out there, the puppet stage out there, the black lights, the illusions, candy, games, all kinds of stuff. Kids in the neighborhood will come in and wipe out our candy stash. We'll get to share the gospel. That's the key, is we'll get to share the gospel. Probably about 3 o'clock would be great to help set up tables and things. So if you want to come and help, come about 3 o'clock. Because I take my nap at 2. So now everybody knows, when you call the pastor's phone at 2, he doesn't answer because he can't hear it ring. Thursday, because we're having kids here on Wednesday night, we're going to probably be wiped out, so we're going to take Thursday night off, because those kids will probably be here on Wednesday night, and we're going to have to put stuff away. So, take your Bible. Y'all think you know where we're going, don't you? We're going to go before the throne of God first. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we can gather together this morning in your house. And Father, just enjoy being with each other. But Father, most of all, enjoy being in your word. And Father, I pray that you'll just guide us this morning as we look into your word and lead us in this study. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1. Some of you are already in Genesis. Hebrews chapter 1. Jenna, will you turn up the red microphone just a little bit, please? The one with the slider that's... See the red tape? Just turn it up a little bit. Hebrews chapter 1 says, God at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he has made the world. God at various times has spoken to us through his word. You know, when we look at Paul, when Paul was teaching and through the ministry of most of the teachers in the New Testament, what were they teaching? They weren't teaching the New Testament because it hadn't been written yet. They were teaching from the Old Testament. So can we learn anything? Can you and I learn anything today from the Old Testament? Well, we better be. Now, take your Bible. You're in Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Heroes of the Faith chapter. I don't think any of us deny that we look at these heroes and we see the good things they did and some of the things that they didn't do that were so good. But if you look at all the heroes that are listed, who's listed over and over? Abraham. Abraham is listed in the Heroes chapter, Abraham and Sarah, more than any of the other Old Testament saints. And in verse 11 of chapter 11, it says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand by which is by the seashore. Now you can go back to Genesis. We're laying the groundwork here. Oh, you want to know what chapter? 16. There are pins on the back table. I need to mention that you can pick up on your way out this morning. Say, God bless America. And that's what we're praying, is that God will continue to bless this great nation. And, stand up, you guys. Gilbert and Natalie are working to through the court system to get their kids back, get her kids. Are working to get her children back and have connected up with a lawyer who is willing to help see if they can get her kids back. But he needs $6,000 as a retainer, and they don't have that money. And so what I'm going to ask is if you could help, you can either write the check to CBT and mark it for that, or you can just give them some money to help out with that. There's also next Saturday going to be a gold drive. If you've got a drawer full of old jewelry that you're not using and you would like to donate it, a pastor from up the road's wife is going to have a gold party, and they'll melt it down, and then all that money goes to them to help pay for the legal expenses for them to get their kids back. So, O-R-O-N-A is the last name. Okay, you can sit down. Almost. You know, as we look at the life of Abraham and Sarah, most of the time we're looking at Abraham, but he also had a wife. Her name was Sarai, until God changed the name to Sarah. So in chapter 16, verse 1, it says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children." You got to understand, in that day, to not have children was considered an embarrassment, because everybody was having kids except Sarah. Well, we don't know that everybody was, but we know that Sarah really wanted to have kids. But she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarah. Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the things not yet seen. They were promised to be made a great nation. That promise has been given over and over and over to them. God made a covenant to make them a great nation. Where is her faith? "Oh, I'm old and I can't do that anymore." Did God promise to make them a great nation? To give her a child? Should she not have believed that God, the creator of this universe, could have given her a child? Now most of us in this room at our age, we're not thinking about children. We're thinking about grandkids, because we think we're well past that age. And Sarah was a little older, so she's like, Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went in to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. She's the one that sent her in there. And once she realizes that this Egyptian, who probably shouldn't have been with him in the first place, was pregnant, she gets mad. But yet she's the one who said, you go in, and then maybe we'll have this child. Then Sarah said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. Actually, what it literally means is the wrong done to me be on you. Laying it off on him. She's the one that told him to do it. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me. So Abram said to Sarai, indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from his presence. I want you to see this very carefully. It says, now the angel of the Lord found her by the spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from, and where are you going? She said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitudes. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. What's an angel? Messenger of God. Who is this angel that's talking to her? This is Christ. This is going to bring forth a son, and that he will multiply his descendants. But what does he say your son is going to be? Yeah, it literally translates a little better as a wild donkey. Is more literally what it amounts to. Do you know who Ishmael's descendants are today? The Arab nation. So if you look at history and what's going on in the Arab nation today, they are his direct descendants. Oh. But then I love the next part. What does she say in verse 13? Then she called the... How do we know that this angel that's speaking to her is Christ? She says, she calls the name of the Lord who spoke to her, El Roy. Actually, your Bible probably says, you are the God who sees. And the name for God who sees is El Roy. For she said, have I also here seen him who sees me? You know what? This didn't surprise God. He knew this was going to happen. This was all part of his perfect plan. But what did she recognize? She recognized that it was God who sees all who was talking to her. You ever think about that? No matter where we go, no matter what we're doing, how we try to hide, God sees all. Doesn't matter what we're doing, where we've gone to, the God of this world, the God of this universe, sees all. He knows all, he sees all. And look what she says in verse 14. Therefore, the well was called Ber Lahai Roy, or the well of the one who lives and sees me. That's what that name literally means. The well of the one who lives and sees me. Aren't you glad that he's in control? You know, he can see the future. He knows what's coming. We often get worried and troubled over what we can't see. But the God who sees all knows everything that's coming. He's in control. Verse 15 of chapter 16 says, "So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, who Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram." Most of us would not even think at 86 about how. If you're in your 80s, are you looking forward to the next child? Well, that woke you up, didn't it? You should see your faces from here. It's quite funny. But Abram believed the promise that God gave him. But he's 86 when Ishmael's born. Now, chapter 17, wonderful chapter, when Abram was 90 years old. Oh, I'm sorry. I got this. It's on two lines. 99 years old. Some of you got a little ways to go before you get there. "The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless.'" You heard the word El Shaddai? It's the name of God. That's the Almighty God. That's what it means. And he said, "I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations." I think what you need to do is you need to take your Bible in chapter 17, and not right now, but tomorrow or the next day, mark how many times God talks about the covenant or the promise that he's making with him, and see how many times you come up with, just in this one chapter. He said, "No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you." So when is this covenant going to end? It's an everlasting covenant. Generation after generation after generation. To be God to you and your descendants after you. Is that not precious to know that he will always be our God? Verse 8 says, "Also I give to you, to your descendants after you, the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." And God said to Abram, "As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generation. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is brought with you, bought with your money, must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the circumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of the foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people, that he has broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarah your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her also, give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Can you see this picture? God is talking to him and just made a great promise to him, including, now I'm going to give you a son, and he falls on his face and laughs. Now why would he do that? You're saying, why would he do that? Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? You know what? In our thinking, can't happen. I'm looking around here and I'm thinking, okay, 90, 80s, yeah, let's see. Which one of you is going to send me a card in the mail and say, Pastor, we're expecting. And we would go, hallelujah. Really, you can see Abraham's dilemma here. He's 100 years old. Yeah, they live a little bit longer, but he's well past his prime. And God says, you're going to have a baby. See? That's right. He's all the way. And I got this picture in my head. The reason he falls down is because he's laughing so hard he can't stand up. It doesn't tell us that in scripture, but he fell down and he's laughing hysterically. I'm 100. She's 90. And we're going to have a kid? I love that, Lurleen. Yeah. Can't you just see that picture? Gray beard, gray hair, you know, probably walking with a cane, and God says, you're going to have a baby. Can you imagine? Do you think they believe? Huh? I think there was a little skepticism there at first, but Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then in verse 19, God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you. And at this set time next year, then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all who were born in the house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abram's house, and circumcised the flesh of the foreskin that very same day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh and his foreskin. That very same day, Abraham was circumcised and his son Ishmael, and all the men in his house, born in the house, or bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. You know, we see promises all through Scripture that God has given us. And He promises to make Abraham a great nation. And Abraham's like, there's no heirs. So he falters, he doesn't do what he's supposed to do. He takes a maid, they have a son. But God says, no, your wife and you will have a child, and I will make them a great nation. His faith, I mean, I can't even begin to think that 40 years from now God would say, you're going to be a father. We were talking with Joy the other day and laughing that if we would have all started earlier, and she would have got married earlier, her mom could still be having kids when she was having kids. But I can't imagine at my age now even beginning to think about being a father. I don't know. Some of you think that's funny. My father was 1 year older than I am when my brother was born. Oh yeah. But imagine 40 years from now, I come back into CBT and I start talking a little different because we've been in the hills for a long time. And I got a special announcement for you. We're gonna have another baby. What are we gonna do? Might as well jump right out of the chair. Could you imagine that? But God who sees all, Almighty God, is able to do those things. And the promise that He gave to Abraham to make him a great nation through Sarah, God can do that. You know, there's nothing that's too hard for God. There's not a single thing that you can come up with that God can't take care of. All things are possible with God. What do we need? Abraham's 100 years old, and God says, you're going to be a father. He's 99, he says he's going to be a father next year. Abraham had to believe that. You know what? God tells us we've got to do stuff. He's got promises all through His book. Do we claim them? Do we claim the promises of God and believe that He is the God who can take care of anything that comes our way? We're going to look next week and we will see more about this interesting miracle from God. But think about where your faith is. Do you have enough faith to believe that God is able to deal with all of those things that come along? God promised this everlasting covenant with Abraham. But you know what? He gave us His Word that's full of promises. What do we need to do? We need to claim them. We need to believe that everything that He says in His Word is going to happen. It's going to come true. Abraham faltered. he didn't believe he was going to have a son, so he took a maid and had a son by him. So we'll see where God's word is true and where he will have the son. I hope that you're claiming God's promises for your life and that you're trusting him for the things that are happening. You know, we got an election coming up. You know what? You know the thing that I know? I can tell you who's going to win the election. You want to know? Anybody want to know? I know. I know who's going to win. The one who God places in that position. That's who's going to win. Because God is a God who's in control. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. Father, for the life of Abraham. Father, I just pray that as we continue our study and we look further into the life of Abraham, we see he obeyed your call to go to a place that he didn't know. You gave him a son that you promised. When he was tested, Father, further on, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. But you provided a sacrifice that was acceptable. Father, I just pray that as we go through these doors today, that Father, today, tomorrow, and in the days to come, that we will just fully trust you, rely upon your word to be our guide, that you are the God who's in control of every situation. There's nothing that you can't handle. There's nothing that's too much for us if we allow you to be the God who is in control. You see all. You are Almighty God, El Shaddai. And Lord, I just pray now that if there's one person in this room that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, that today might be their day of salvation. Father, we don't know when you're coming back, but we do know as we're preparing to celebrate the Christmas season that it's a time that you sent your Son to be born, and he lived here on this earth, went to the cross to take the punishment and for my sins on his body. And Father, that if there's someone here today that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, that today might be their day of salvation and that they can know for sure where they're going to spend eternity. And we just pray this in your most precious name. Amen.